Thank you and good afternoon. Someone has said swallow your pride occasionally. You'll find it's non-fattening. We appreciate the opportunity of being with you today. We're glad to be able to study from the Bible, and we're glad that you're interested in Bible study. All right, let's get back to our study, and we're talking about salvation, the fact that God wants us to be saved. But remember, friends, God will not take away our choice in order to make us go to heaven. He has not already decided without our having part in that. He has already given us the opportunity to make a decision, but he doesn't make our decision for us. We were looking at Revelation 22 and verse 17 yesterday, and the passage simply says, "The bride and the spirit say, come. Let him that is athirst come. Let him come and drink of the water of life freely. Whosoever will, let him come." Whosoever means anyone, doesn't it? And whosoever wills means whosoever submits himself to this decision. Well, clearly there's a decision made. You remember one time when Moses set before the children of God this kind of choice? He said, "I set before you life and death. Choose life that ye may live." Well, according to Calvinism, that choice is already made, and it was just foolishness for Moses to say choose life because it had already been decided, and they had no choice in the matter. Friends, our Bible does not read with Calvinism. It doesn't agree with it at all. And the idea that God has chosen before we began, before we were born, what our eternal destiny would be, is just repugnant not only to the Scriptures, but to our own thinking along this line. The Bible teaches very plainly, we have a choice. In Acts, the 26th chapter, and verse 28, there was a man named Agrippa. And you remember Agrippa was reasoning with Paul, or rather Paul reasoning with Agrippa. And Paul said to Agrippa, "Do you believe the prophets?" And then he didn't even wait for Agrippa to answer. He said, "I know you believe. You know what the prophets said, and I know that you believe." And then Agrippa made this statement, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Now, almost is not enough. That's the language of failure. We talk sometimes about people who almost avoided disaster. Well, that means they didn't avoid disaster. When we say almost persuaded, that means not fully. And so the disaster was not averted. "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Some have taken this passage and concluded that he was simply speaking this in derision and saying, "Here I am a king and you're trying to make a Christian out of me," and somehow or other it's a statement of that kind. No, I don't believe that. I believe Agrippa was on the verge. I believe as he reasoned about the will of God, he was about ready to make a good decision, but he didn't make it. Friends, when he decided not to become a Christian, was he still on his way to heaven? Was that a choice that had no effect on his eternal destiny? Or was it true that his destiny was still in his hands? And he could make a decision one way or the other. Why do you suppose Paul was so urgent in talking to him about his soul if the matter was already settled? Why did he tell Agrippa, "You need to believe the prophets and accept what is spoken by the prophets"? Well, the fact was, Agrippa's soul was in the balance. Paul knew that, and Agrippa made the decision not to obey the Lord. Another example of it would be a man named Felix. This is in Acts 24 and verse 25. when the record says that Paul reasoned with Felix about righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Felix trembled. But Felix said, "When I have a more convenient season, I'll call for you." In other words, what he was saying is, I've made a decision, and my decision is not to obey the Lord. Well, very obviously, that was a bad decision. But it was in his hands, wasn't it? It was something he had to decide. Friends, don't let anybody tell you where you will be eternally is in somebody else's hands. You're going to make the choice. The decision is yours. And for you to turn down the gospel is simply to seal your decision in the wrong way. The choice is there. God won't take away your choice. Another thing that God will not do is that God will not save us in our sins. There are people who don't want to leave a life of sin. Now, there might be a number of reasons for that. I see some people who just obviously enjoy living a life of sin. If I would deny that there is pleasure in sin, I'd be denying Bible teaching. The Bible teaches that Moses chose to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. You notice the word "for a season" or that expression? That's key, isn't it? There is pleasure in sin, but it's transitory. It's not going to be here long. It's gone very quickly. And because some people enjoy that kind of life and those kinds of things, that's the reason they don't want anybody taking them out of their sin. Yet a person who has lived that kind of life, when they're faced with the hour of death, call upon the Lord to save them. You know what I'm saying? It just simply is that people think they can go ahead and live a life of sin and there's no consequence, no penalty involved in regard to it. If I make a decision along this line that I'm going to live a life of sin, that's all right. And I don't need to worry about the consequence of it. I can just at the last minute, or even if I don't have the opportunity, just at the last minute, God will take me to heaven anyhow, regardless of the kind of life that I've lived. Friends, sin is repugnant to God. It's something that is terrible, repulsive. And certainly it ought to be in our sight. To rebel against God, to rebel against His will, makes us guilty of sin. How could God ignore the sins of the people? Study your Old Testament. You'll find that He did not ignore the sins of the children of Israel, nor will He ignore our sins as we do wrong. We appreciate studying with you today and remind you that it was Jesus who said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." We now return you to our announcer.